Shiva Asar B'Tammuz marks the beginning of the Hachana for Elul. Really, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is, but nobody else was thinking about Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So, practically speaking, the Hachana for Elul begins on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, because the Hachana for Rosh Hashanah begins on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And if you're going to start preparing for Elul on Rosh Chodesh Elul, you've already missed Elul and it's too late. I mentioned this a few times here. I saw a Michtav Kisvayad of Revolpi. He says that if you don't get Tisha B'Av right, you're not going to get Rosh Hashanah right. For sure, guaranteed. If you don't get Tisha B'Av right, you will not get Rosh Hashanah right. Take some steps here. One of the memches kinyanai Torah is Makiris Makoimai. The person has to know who he is, has to Makiris Makom in space and time. There's many applications. The person has to know who he is, Yechasi's Chavrusa, he has to know who he is, Yechasi's family, Yechasi's Rebbe, Yechasi the world around him. He has to know who he is, has to Makiris Makoimai. If he's a Godel Ador, he has to know he's a Godel Ador. If he's a Poshet Am Haaretz, he has to know he's a Poshet Am Haaretz. If he's a Kovaitim Latoya, he knows a Kovaim Latoya. If he's a Torah Munasa, he knows a Torah Munasa. Whatever he happens to be, he has to know himself and own himself very, very well. And then there's a macrocosmic Makiris Makoimai, that there's a specific generation. He's part of a specific generation that has specific needs. He tries to conduct himself. A very successful Rosh Hashiva that I once knew. That today is not such a successful Rosh Hashiva, because what worked 20 years ago doesn't work today, and he's not prepared to change. He's still applying the same methodologies and tools that worked on the kids 20, 30 years ago, and if you apply that today, the kids have changed. If you haven't noticed that the world changed, right? So you have to know what your unique tafkid in this unique time is, and it could be today it's different from tomorrow. We're living in a tekufa now. Person Makir's where he's living, there's an enormous amount to be gained from this. There's two new Musas Sfarim, yeah, that have been published in one volume. Yeah, the one's called The State of Israel in the Year of 2013, and the other one's called The Modern Orthodox World in the Year of 2013. The two very important Musas Sfarim that everybody has to read, because they're very shaykh to us. What do I mean? Let's just take one small example, right? The chief rabbinate. Well, you can say whatever you want about the chief rabbinate, but let's just see what's going on at the moment. The one group wants a certain chief rabbi, right? Because he'll matter all the mamzerim, and he'll do whatever they want him to do, whatever. But they can't, because the people whose vote they need isn't prepared to do that unless they get the guy they want. But to get the guy they want, you have to change the law, because he's already been the chief rabbi, and you can't make the chief rabbi twice, or because he's over the age, or whatever the democratically elected law says about him not being the chief rabbi. That has to be changed, right? Okay? So we change the law. It's called a chok amar. We make a chok amar, we change the law. So that he can now be the chief rabbi for more, and because of that, we'll vote for your guy to become the chief rabbi, to do whatever you guys need him to do, so that we can... That's example number one, yeah. I was in Toronto recently. I was told, once again, I haven't checked out the validity of this, but it's Maise Yom. It was a Yom Iyun, Yom Tfila, for the State of Israel, whatever. There was during the war, maybe they had some kind of a, they all got together to daven together, yeah. Where did they do it? In a conservative shul. Fine. If you want to go in a conservative shul, go in a conservative shul. I have no problem with that personally myself, yeah? Rav Moshe happens to hold it's Yarok Valyava. The Rav, this Orthodox rabbi that arranged this whole thing, based it on a Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was matir. I looked at the Rav Moshe's, and Rav Moshe calls it Yarok Valyava. It's an interesting heter that. Yarok Valyava, by me, always understood meant an Issa. Rav Moshe matters it. I found out afterwards that Rav Moshe was relying on was a bar mitzvah that Rav Moshe allowed to be held in a conservative hall. there was no other halls, there was a certain town somewhere, whatever, and the only hall in the Shtot, whatever, and Dafka not Bashar Satfilas, whatever, but they matted everybody in a conservative shul based on Rav Moshe, that matted making a permit in a conservative shul. Why? Huh? He has whatever his reasons for doing whatever his negias are for doing what he did. He did. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the same week that this country is trying to put a law on the table that will ban mechitzas at a chasana. Shocking news, that. They want to pass a law that will make mechitzas illegal. That means no hall that has a mechitza will have a license. You're not going to be able to make a chasana with a mechitza. Did Gzeira sound familiar somewhere? Go track back on Shiva Sakatamas, learn a bit of history. It's a good time to remember what happened to us in those days. The greatest simcha, Klal Yisrael ever had, the Gemara says, when they found a way to have the men and the women dancing at the Simchas Veis HaShoevet together. That was the greatest simcha we ever had, was a thing called a mechitza. Of course, the Lord's man a mechitza, but that's not a discussion. That's another discussion. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the same week, an Orthodox rabbi in America gave simcha to three woman rabbis that had learnt in his yeshiva and got smicha. Yeah, he found a way to match them learning Gemara. Where there's a will, there's always a halachic way. Yeah? There's pressure on him to be more feministic, to be more liberal, to have or whatever. He's losing customers. People aren't coming to shul anymore. It's an old story. This it's a very old story, but it's playing itself out new. And today it's called Orthodox. Everybody knows that Reform and Conservative aren't the real thing. It's Orthodox. It must be real. There's many examples. If you got your eyes half open, a person has to have his eyes open. Many, many examples. But that's all a marshal. They're not our problem. They're not even here. If they were here, we could try to talk to them, but they're not even here. We're here. Where's the Nimshul here? Who's the Nimshul? So I'm the Nimshul. I'm the Nimshul. I'm a Ben Torah, and I'm serious about my learning, and I'm serious about my Yiddishkeit or whatever. But when I stop and I take a good hard look at myself, a big chunk of it is like ki'ilu. You know, it's like ki'ilu democratic that you can change the laws whenever it suits you to do whatever you want, right? That's called democracy. It's not democracy. That's called ki'ilu democracy. Yeah, that's called self gain. That's doing what good for me. Yeah, so I'm like that as well. I have wants. I have needs. It's a very human thing. Wants and needs. And sometimes the Torah kind of interferes a little bit with my wants and needs. So I'm not going to be a cross the Balavera or whatever. So you find a hetter. You can matter everything with the Sugin Chagiga. It's called the Sugin Moira Hetter, basically. You know? Everything's pretty much mutter if you find the right Moira Hetter. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit tired tonight, so I've got a chazah shiur, and that's what I was planning on doing, whatever. But a little bit tired, and tomorrow I want to do something, and I'm going to be tired. I'm going to do, you know what? So find something else to do tonight. Ki'ilu, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Ki'ilu, I've shalom bayis. Ki'ilu, I'm mechanechim my children properly. Ki'ilu, I've studied each child and I understand him. I know what he needs. And I'm bringing up, and if he does Torah, and ki'ilu. The whole thing's one big ki'ilu. The whole thing, one big bluff. Why is it important to talk like this now? Just look at this. What would Rav Volbi mean that if you don't get Tisha B'Av right, you can't get Rosh Hashanah right? What's the Nakuda here? So, I never learned from Rav Volbi, I don't know. But after having spoken to one of his very, very close to Talmidim, I think this could be what he's saying. That's what Berkowitz once as well, and he held this could be pshat. We go through the whole year thinking everything's fine. Ein tzadik ba'aretz, sh'ayis ha'tov lo yechto. There's no one in this room. We make mistakes. We mess up here, we mess up there. We're pretty good yidden. We're learning, we're steiging with the spitz of the yidden. Yeah, we're in pretty good shape. But you know, Hashem judges us more seriously than that enormous benefit we have of being so wonderfully privileged comes with a bit of responsibility. You get clapped harder. Yeah, the king demands more from his inner circle than he does from the guys out in the outlying villages. So we mess up, we make mistakes, but what do we think? you know, last match carry on pretty much the way it was. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changed. Yeah, do a bit of tshuva. Also, ki'ilu tshuva. Do a bit of ki'ilu tshuva. Yeah, I'm very sorry, Hashem. I won't do it again. And off I go. That's called aziva sachet. I won't do it again. And then tomorrow I do it again. And I won't do it again. That's called aziva sachet. I said I wouldn't do it again. No, what more do you want from me? Some cheshbon, some plan, some, you know, take out a paper, write it out. Oh, it's aziva sachet. Means, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Okay. It's not tshuva, but it's ki'ilu. Ki'ilu tshuva. So the whole year we managed to go through this, and we've gone through it, and it's fine. And then suddenly on Tisha B'Av, what happens? It all blows up in your face. It blows up in your face. You suddenly realize, wow, whoa. And you've been walking around the whole year saying, guys, you know, the Beis Hamikdash is about to get destroyed. What are you going to when you get your heads together? Yeah, Lama Tam Lo Iskim B'Toira. Yirmiyahu's going around, the Rashi says, he's going around, he's telling people, wake up, wake up. So first of all, we don't like what he says, so we try and get rid of him. even if we hear what he says, we change it. There's not really that. The Beis Hamikdash is going to get destroyed. Are you out of your mind? The Beis Hamikdash is going to get destroyed. How could that happen? How could that happen? Well, they're going to take 40,000 Bochrim out of the yeshivas and put them in the army. How could that happen? Don't worry about it. It's never going to happen. Don't worry about it. It can't happen. It's not shaykh. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. And sleep comfortably. It's never going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. And then suddenly you wake up one morning and there's the Beis Hamikdash. Burning. What happened here? What happened? So what's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is a wake-up call. A real serious wake-up call. It's real. There's consequences. It's not just ki'ilu. You can ki'ilu yourself, but you can't ki'ilu Hashem. It's real. The pasuk tells you, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. Hashem has rachamim, so he gives us chance to change and to change. But eventually, you know, time runs out. Boom. There's the Beis Hamikdash. Go up there and have a look. There's a mosque there today. It's a mosque. And in every generation that is not rebuilt, it's ki'ilu we built. We destroyed it. Yeah, another ki'ilu. It's not ki'ilu. We mamash prevented it from being rebuilt. And that's real. The light of that shock is supposed to wake up a person and say, now you can go into Elul. Now you can go into Elul and say, you know what? Phew. I'm not just saying, I'm sorry, I'll never do this again. I have to sit down. You gave me a whole month. Enormous chesed. Chesed Elul is. Chesed Elul is. A whole month, yeah, of mamash, just charish mamash wide open. Yeah, you know, Tammuz and Av was given to Esav. Those 2 months were given to Esav. Elul and Tishrei was given to Yaakov. You step out of Av, you step into Elul, and it's like you've walked into fresh air after having, you know, been breathing like you were living in whatever, I don't know where the most polluted place in the world is, whatever, Peking, I don't know, Shanghai. And you walk into a place that's got fresh air. Elul's like walking into fresh air. And you're ready, you're prepared, because you know, hey, there's a lot of work to do here. A lot of work to do here. I'm responsible. That Beis Hamikdash is lying there in ruins, and I've got to get to work. This one Nakudan of Pinkus always used to say is you must know that the greatest gilui of Hashem's chesed and love for us is on Tisha B'Av. Sounds a bit strange, yeah? The Moshel used is very simple. You see a kid car running across the road and a bus comes screaming around the corner and misses the kid by half a millimeter, yeah? And there's tires screeching and noise and booms or whatever, and the kid manages to like roll onto the pavement. Baruch Hashem, not a scratch, yeah? And all the people that saw this, the bastard is up to get, oh, you okay, kid? Is everything all right? You know, and the little Jewish lady's giving him a toffee, and another one's giving him a sucker, and you know, all okay, whatever. Up walks this one guy, and he turns and gives the kid a clap across his face. Don't you ever do that again! Who's that? It's dad. It's the father. Who gives the child a patch? Everybody can give the child a sweet. Everyone can give you toffees. Who gives you a patch? Only dad. Why? Because dad's the one that's responsible. Dad's the one that's worried. And dad's the one that cares more about you than anyone else. He wants to make sure you don't cross the road and kill yourself. Dad. He's the guy. So Tisha B'Av of Pinkus says is that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu dealing with us like a father. A loving, caring father. He's showing us these consequences. Wake up. I don't want this to happen again, Hashem says. The alternative to destroying the Beis Hamikdash is wiping you guys out. It's one of the Pratim, they say, David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis Hamikdash because he had blood on his hands. So the way we understand it is because he had blood on his hands, there was lacking in the Kedusha, therefore he couldn't build the Beis Hamikdash. Unfortunately, explain the exact opposite. It's because he was some Moisei Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Klal Yisrael, he had blood on his hands. Had he built the Beis Hamikdash, it could never have been destroyed. And Hashem would have had to take Klal Yisrael. So Hashem was able to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and Klal Yisrael continues. It's another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash. Same reason they say that he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, could never have been destroyed. Hashem was just about to let Moshe Rabbeinu into Eretz Yisrael from his tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening and davening. Hashem would have had to say yes. He said, don't, keep quiet. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if he got into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael would have got destroyed on Tisha B'Av, not the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the feeling, the musag a person has to have on Tisha B'Av. It's not a day of depression. It says mamayit b'simcha. It doesn't say get rid of simcha legamrei. That's it from Rav Tetz. A person has to sit on the floor on Tisha B'Av b'simcha as well. A certain amount of simcha a person has to have as well. Obviously, you have to learn the halachas. What simcha you allowed, what not, whatever. It's not the same as Purim. It says ma'abi b'simcha. It doesn't say, you know, like become a meshugana. So Tisha B'Av and Pesach on the same night. Why? What's the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av? So the one pshat is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzei Yitzchecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lechem Lelokim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Is the same Anoichi Hashem that took you out of Yerushalayim Liyos Lechem Lelokim on Tisha B'Av. Kosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. He also took us out of Yerushalayim. It's the same Anoichi. It's the same Hashem with the same plan, with the same final goal, with the same love, with the same caring. But there's consequences. You're the king's son, you can't get away with doing whatever you want. There's consequences. It says Rav Volbi, if you don't get the message on Tisha B'Av that there's consequences, what are you going to do in Elul? What's your Elul going to look like? Another ki'ilu. The Elul will look like the whole year looked ki'ilu. Ki'ilu, I'm doing tshuva. Ki'ilu, I'm doing vidui. Ki'ilu, I'm getting up for slichas. One big yeah. You send the goof to slichas. The goof goes off to slichas and the neshama stays it on. Ki'ilu, one big ki'ilu. Yeah, tshuva, yeah, but it's a tshuva. It's a tshuva, but I mean, you know, especially now they're not changing the clock. I mean, how are you going to say slichas, whatever? You have to sleep late, so, you know, you're sneaking in with slichas on your own, and, you know, whatever. That's all ki'ilu. Don't arrange our lives properly, we don't change our schedules, you know, so we can fit in Hashem's rotzon. Just carry on normal, whatever, bit of Elul, bit of pretending, a little bit more frum in Elul. If you don't get it on Tisha B'Av, so then Elul also doesn't look like what it's supposed to look. And if Elul doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like, then what's Rosh Hashanah going to look like? If you don't get Elul right, then Rosh Hashanah is a bit of a disaster. If you don't get Rosh Hashanah like, so then, okay, and everyone knows what I'm talking about. That's why we're still clapping the same al-chait this year that we did last year and the year before. At some point it has to stop. At some point it has to change. The marshal of what's going on out there today is mamash a chesed. It's mamash a chesed. It's an unbelievable chesed. When I came yesterday to do the bikoret, and he's right at the top bikoret. So I said to the guy, he has the invitation on the wall. You can see there's a chasana, right? You can see the mashgiach's not here. It says here, Meir Jungras, right? And it says here, Meir Jungras, right? Okay, so tick him off.
You've
got a wedding? He's a marshal. What do I expect from him? I do that also. Well, it's my fault that he did. I parked the other day outside somewhere in the Ramah, whatever. I didn't park exactly the way I should have, whatever. Somebody couldn't get out properly, so they came and they screamed at me, whatever. It's a Chil Hashem, besides the Chil Hashem aspect, but my reaction to the other person was is yo, well, you're not exactly parked. That's what the guy was saying to me yesterday. Well, it's my fault. Yes, it's your fault. Yeah, it's your fault. It is my fault. You park properly, sure. What are you doing? But my first reaction was blame the other person. You know, attacks the best form of defense. You know, these 3 weeks is real time, wake up time. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu gives it to us. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We can't go up to the Harabais and see the Shkin and see the Tendis and see the Gilu Shkin and see the Gilu Ponim of a Kosh Baruch Hu. We don't see it. We live in a time of Hester, Asta, Hester Ponim. We live in a very dark time. It's very hard to see. But I'll tell you, there's never been, if you know how to look at the world, a greater Gilui of the Rotzon of Hashem in the world than you see today. But you have to know how to look at it. You have to know how to look at the world through eyes of Betochen, through eyes of Imunah. Person has to mechazak shara betochen and chayiv selavavas over and over. You have to go over and over again. Tesla says it's only person who has any satisfaction and any tranquility and any happiness in this world. Somebody that's living with shara betochen. You're living with money, you're living with trust in this one, you're trusting that one. You see, ain't on milis smoich. Person has to mechazak that during this period. It's too late to start working on betochen. Once again, it's never too late. It's Mashgiach is used to say it's much later than you think, but it's not too late, but it's later than you think. Yeah, it's never too late. Even in every Rosh Hashanah you wake up, it's still, you can still do. The Gemara discusses one of the Tanoim that went into the Beis HaKvaros erev Rosh Hashanah because he suddenly realized, ooh, he has to do something. But there's so much to be learned, there's so much to be seen, what's going on out there. People twisting and people this and mamash, the whole sheker though, you know, my sheker is just mamash like a Shulchan Aruch. It's mamash laid out in front of you. The guys, you can't, yeah, guys used to be embarrassed to lie in public, yeah? Today there's no bush anymore. There's no embarrassment. You can say what you want. You can matter davening in a conservative shul based on a Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe says, Yarug Val Yavel. You can do what you want. Do what you want. And I said, that's the nakuda of what's going on out here today. You know, the Chofetz Chaim says that in peacetime, so a person has a life. He has a farm, he has a factory, he has a business. The army takes him for a year or two, and then he goes back home. Now and again, they call him in for training or whatever. If it happens to be the harvest season, so he says to the army, listen, you know, no one's going to harvest my potatoes. Can I come next week? Usually they say, Beseder, come next week. There's no luck, it's no pressure, yeah? There's another training program in 6 months' time. Come in 6 months' time. Seven, cool, whatever. That's during peacetime. During war, says the Chofetz Chaim, it's not like that. When there's a war raging, so they take the guy, they send him off to the front line. The guy says, excuse me, but do you mind if I go home for a few days? I've got to harvest my potatoes. What are you talking about, potatoes? There's a war. I'm going to harvest potatoes. There's a war going on. You don't have your own life. You're in the army. There's a war going on here. When the war's finished, if we win, you can go home. But until then, this is where you are. There's no going home for your sons bar mitzvah. There's no going home to harvest your potatoes. Says the Chofetz Chaim, this is before the war. Klal Yisrael's at war. There's a spiritual war raging. Yeah. In times of Chofetz Chaim, they saw the consequences. We saw the consequences very clear. The Holocaust is enough of a wake up call for anybody. Then, I mean, okay. The trauma of the Holocaust has to be dealt with. But we go through the 3 weeks. We that live such glorious, protected, unbelievably comfortable lives, it's hard for us to get in touch with what a churban looks like. We have to work much harder. But we have the Holocaust. We know what it looks like. There's a consequence. Chofetz Chaim said it was going to happen. He described it was going to happen in intricate detail. He described the Holocaust. And it wasn't hard because it's Mefurish Apostle Sukkim and Chumash. If you just learn how to know a little bit of Chumash, Rav Nocho used to say people bring him a raya that the Torah is not true from the Holocaust. So the Holocaust, the biggest proof that the Torah is true. Because everything that happened in the Holocaust, the Torah said was going to happen, was all impossible technologically until the Holocaust. Ruba de ruba, the things that the Klalas talk about, yeah, were impossible until the Holocaust happened. Technologically, you couldn't get one person killing 1,000 people. It was very, very hard. Unless he was like a ninja turtle or whatever. But there weren't any of those in Germany. For one person to kill 1,000 people, you know, that's all. You go stab the guy and stab the guy and stab. Then you go sit down and go rest. Why wouldn't 1,000 people jump on the one person? I mean, it's impossible for one person to kill 1,000 people before you had a gun or a machine gun. In the First World War, it was almost impossible for it to happen. The Second World War, those clothes, he said, it's the greatest raya, okay, that the Torah is true was the Holocaust. The person has to know how to read the Holocaust. The person has to. That's what the avoid of these 3 weeks is. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. When a person doesn't have a kidney, he goes for dialysis, yeah? Come on, son, he doesn't have a kidney, so he has to have dialysis. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. These 3 weeks is the dialysis machine. To get very, very real and very clear about who runs the world, what the consequences are, the Schava Oynesh. We don't believe the Schava Oynesh. We think the Schava Oynesh is also Ki'ilu. Hashem has so much rachamim and caring and love for us. We do such terrible things and we see Hashem doesn't kind of like, doesn't jump on our heads too hard, yeah? So we think, yeah, Schava Oynesh is also. You open up the Musas for him, you see what the Oynesh is. That's a terrifying thing. It's real. We can avoid it. We don't have to go through it. We can go the hard path. We don't have to go the low road. We can go the hard path. But we have to use the time, Akiris Makoima, understand where we are. We have 3 weeks. Sometimes you're going to be traveling, sometimes you're going to be going. Sadder. Yeah? So your physical area changes. It's still the 3 weeks. It doesn't change. It gets harder, maybe. Get out a pen and paper. Start doing your cheshbon and nefesh. Now, don't wait till Elul. When you hear the shofar blowing on Elul, you have to be wide awake and sensitive to be able to absorb that shofar. If the shofar blows and all it says to you is, oh, it's Elul, I better get busy. You haven't chapped what I'm saying here now. We have 3 weeks that are mamash mesugal, where the consequences of our actions are wide open in front of us. You can't hide from yourself in these 3 weeks when the Beis HaMikdash is burning up there. When the enemies from outside and the enemies from inside are mamash mitgabering, you have no idea. You have no idea. And you do have an idea. If I have an idea, you have an idea of how powerful and strong the hatred and the sinner for any zig of kedusha in the world is at the moment. Baruch Hashem, we've been given the responsibility of maintaining it up and holding it. Okay, that's our achrayus, and it starts with all the things we've spoken about. It starts with the banim l'chaveros. It starts with banim l'chamakoms. It starts with a proper cheshbon of how I use my time, how I use my energy, and ultimately, I want to finish with this. I've mentioned this story to a few people, but this maase is just so earth shattering in the most simple, pristine way. And if you can chap this maase, you have a very powerful tool. Very powerful tool to go about doing what you have to do in the next few weeks. The Rav where I live, Rav Yaakovson, told me that his older sister became a kala around about this time. Yeah, it was a big sofik when to make the chasana, to do it before Rosh Chodesh Elul or to do it after the chagim. To make a chasana before Rosh Chodesh Elul is you're going to put a wedding together in 5-6 weeks. It's not so posh it, yeah, to organize a wedding that quick. To make the chosen color wait till after the chagim, it's also not so pleasant to go another 8-9 weeks without, it's a difficult period, whatever. Didn't know what to do. So the mother and the father went to Reb Nissen. Went to Reb Nissen to ask him what to do. Very close to Reb Nissen, asked him what to do. So Reb Nissen's a clever Rav. And he asked the Rebbetzin, what do you want? What do you want? Right? If you ever become a Rav, that's the first question you ask. Ask the Rebbetzin, what does she want? I went to Reb Scheinberg once to ask him about where to live, whatever, you know, here or there, and I showed him all the malas and the chesronis, whatever, my learning, whatever. He said to me, what does your wife want? It's like, oh, good question, think about that. It's just, oh, okay, I'll ask her, you know, and it was posh. So he asked her, what do you want? Listen to this answer. She said, Ani lo rotze klum. I don't want anything. Just tell me what the right thing to do is. I don't want anything. That's a dagger a person has to get to. I don't want anything. I'm not bribable because I don't have an agir. I just want to know what the right thing to do is. What does Hashem want me to do? What Hashem wants me to do, that's what I'm prepared to do. When Tabor asked his mother while she was still having children in the middle of the Holocaust, she gave birth in Auschwitz, yeah? They'd been hiding in bunkers and running from the Nazis for years or whatever. She was still having children. He said, what were you thinking? Children in the middle of Auschwitz? She said, I have to do what I have to do, and Akash Baruch has to do what he has to do. Same answer. I don't want anything. I do want to have children, I don't want to have children. I don't know if I want to have children, I want to have children. Just tell me what to do. Once again, that's an incredibly high level, but the musag in our small areas, have a look at what you want, what's driving you, and what's moving you away from doing what we're supposed to be doing. I want. Whenever you hear yourself saying, I want, be very careful. It's usually not you that wants it, it's your Yetzer Hara. You can always tell that it's a Yetzer Hara because he never says I want, he says I need. The minute it's a need, that's usually your Yetzer Hara because you don't usually need it. You need water, you need a roof over your head, you need clothes and other things kind of a person needs. But a lot of the things that Yetzer Hara gets us to work for aren't needs, those are wants and they're usually his wants. I don't want anything. So tell me what to do. And once again, to hold there is, okay, it's one daga, but at least it's a direction finder of where we're supposed to be headed. I don't want the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Oh, good. So what are you going to do about it? Let's use this opportunity to focus on the Nimshal, not on the Marshal, but the Marshal is a very powerful Marshal. It's got to be learned well. Sort of Tzadok says a person is a chiv to learn the world in order to understand Torah. Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world, so you can look at the world and you can understand Torah. We should be zeicher, mamash, that this day should be turned into a yontif, that on Tisha B'Av we should mamash, we shouldn't have to sit on the floor crying, we should all be together. Not that everybody wants the Beis HaMikdash built, it's not so posh to have a Beis HaMikdash, if I can steal 2 more minutes. Most of us don't find time to say Kabbonis in the morning. What are you going to do when the Beis HaMikdash is there? You're going to have to bring a korban. You slip all the way to Yishalayim, whatever, and the buses, and who's going to put the kids to sleep while I'm at the Beis HaMikdash? And you know what it costs? You know the chatzis costs? How much does the chatzis cost today? What does a cow cost today? I don't know. It's not so posh, you know. We really want the Beis HaMikdash? It's not so posh, you know. but how am I going to miss the day? I mean, get to the Beis HaMikdash and get back. It's going to take, I don't have 2 hours. I mean, how am I going to get to work? And how am I going to get back? And how am I going to... It's just not going to miss the day so well, all this Beis HaMikdash stuff, yeah? And sukkahs, you mean sukkahs, I can't sit in my sukkah and just chill for like a week without being anyone. Boy, man, I've got to go there and I can't sleep for a whole week. I would have been a bit. Having Mashiach is not so simple, yeah. We really want Mashiach. We really pray to pay the price of living with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the inner chamber. You know, you can't run around in your underwear whenever you feel like any competent. Yeah, we're really ready for that. But anyway, even if you're not ready, a Kodesh Baruch Hu should bring it soon. Should be zeichet to gula shleima, and we should, this Tisha B'Av should mamash be a Yom Tov shleima.